We're going to go back to Luke 1. And last time we all stood up together and read the Magnificat, which is really powerful. I want to go back and visit that. This is six Sundays now until Christmas. Can I tell them who's going to do communion on the Advent first? So the first Sunday of Advent, Jamie is speaking. Her mother is doing communion. And some of the other Sundays, we're probably going to have it every Sunday. And some of the other ones, John has willing to do some other Sundays. So John Guthrie's going to be doing some. So that's great. And Brooke, I found out last week you mentioned, 11:11 at 11 a.m. is Armistice Day. And Michael Bynum is, always this walking scribe, also a factoid even more than me. And he said that, and Brooke, you can correct this if this is not true. He said they decided on that time and that day, the evening before at 5 p.m., around 5-ish, something like that. And between 5 p.m. on the 10th and 11:11 at 11, more people were killed than we lost in the Vietnam War. Wow. And the reasons for that was both sides were trying to get as much territory under their control as they could before the armistice negotiations began. So humans are amazingly skillful at destroying each other. I don't know what we say about that. Like, gosh, help, help, Lord. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. We had a young man, I believe his name is Eugene, a few minutes ago come up to me and said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Is it too late for me to get saved? Have I done too many things?" I said, "No, Jamie, where are you?" Because, she doesn't know she's in training to do everything, but she's in training to do everything. So she and I went back and we led him to the Lord and sinner's prayer. And it was fascinating. He said, "Hey, can you tell me what this means?" He was walking down the street. He saw a necklace that has a cross made out of nails, and he was wearing it. He had just found it. I said, God does stuff like that. So they left a minute ago over to get lunch at one of the other. It's real sweet. They meet, if you meet some of the people, he's just been in town like 5 days, and if they meet at the public library, there's a lady that picks them up and takes them to some place for lunch. One of the churches feeds them. And so we need more of that. One last thing before I pray. Factoid, I was listening to the Pew Research Group does research in all kinds of things. And when they don't have politics to research, they research Christian stuff. In this country, 75% of the people that have been surveyed say that they believe in God and are Christian. 75%, but only 37% believe that Jesus is coming again. So there's kind of an interesting gap there of information and stuff. Well, no, I guess the kids' door is shut and they're just rambunctiously, I need to hang some more curtains. They're very much alive, which is good. And thank you for, we have a lot of people that know about us, and they come in for coffee, and they come in for snacks, and they come and stay for some worship and stuff, and then we have kids milling around the room. But whether they be kids or whether it be somebody coming in off the street, God's presence is so greatly here today. It was really hard walking. And of course, this is like the seventh thing in the last few days is the power decided, I don't know which one it was, on the phone started dying and started sending me signals that I'm running out of energy. What are you going to do about it? Now it's going, I don't know. I got to think, what do I have lying around here and what cords do I have? And all that kind of thing. So so let's pray for a minute. Father, we divide up our service in little parts, but we know it's all one thing, that this is the Lord's Day. Long time ago, the Christians took it over and left Sabbath as a day of worship in the Jewish community, and the those that were following Jesus decided that since he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, we would make that the day of worship, and we would nickname that the Lord's Day. So we worship you all the time, but we set aside this time, and we so want you by the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So Father, we come to you just like being aware a minute ago with a young man and his red sweatshirt reminding us of your shed blood, that I'm telling him he's clothed in Jesus now, he can come to you. We come clothed not in our righteousness, but that of Jesus. And we boldly come before your throne, Father. And we submit to what you have to say to us. Individually, would you speak to us? Together, individually, however you want to speak to your people. We are always in need of more encouragement from you. Reminders like this past week. We bless Stephanie's family. Her mom has gone to be with you. I bless Charles Tucker's three children and the grandchildren. And Charles went to be with you this week. He taught with me at Glencoe, and we bless them. May both families find comfort in you, hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So these passages are always, like, I just don't always get in touch with it, but this morning it was crazy town here this morning. I mean, really, some of our friends that move up and down the street can be in really crazy places, and I was reading the scripture, so I put some music in headphones after they had all left, and here's this young girl under anointing in Israel being an occupied country with the Romans are running everything. She's gone to visit Elizabeth, who's really old and going to have a baby. And what is she, 6 months pregnant, something like that, and with John the Baptist. And Mary says these things, and I want to center in on a few of them, because this goes with the next prophetic word, which is Zacharias is going to, on the next page. So this is Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary says, New American Standard, "My soul exalts or makes great the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." And then, that's all true, but then the anointing, I think, starts picking up more of the Spirit. Verse 49, "For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Well, picks up now. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble." Think about that the Romans are occupying them. Think about all their heritage down through the years up to this point. It just keeps on going with the Jewish nation, but down to this point. He has filled the hungry, verse 53, with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant. And in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. What a powerful word from a young girl coming by the anointing of the Spirit. So Mary stays about 3 months, it says, returns home. Now this about this time, and the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gives birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives hear that the Lord's displayed his great mercy toward her, because she's older and she's going to have a baby, her only child. And they were rejoicing with her, and it happened on the eighth day, which is the from Moses' time, that they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zachariah after his father. But his mother answered and said, remember, Zach is deaf and dumb right now. Had a little encounter with the angel 9 months before. And his mother answered and said, no, indeed, he shall be called John. And they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who's called by that name. And they made signs to the father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John. And they were all astonished. Now, Zechariah is of the house of Levi. He is a Levitical priest. It was his chosen by lot that he got to go in and put the incense on the incense burner, and stuff. And then the angel appears to him, as he's doing his office. They were taking turns because there's so many of them. And he won. So as he goes in, Gabriel comes and appears to him, and talks to him. So remember, this is a Levite talking. Okay, and at once his mouth was opened and his mouth loosed, tongue loosed, and began to speak in praise of God. Verse 65, and fear came on all those living around. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them kept them in mind. They stored this, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father, Zacharias, the Levite, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies. Now look how, listen to how, what he's saying 3 months later, that what Mary said when she was visiting Elizabeth. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. Now, he's not talking about John the Baptist, who is a Levite. He's talking about the Messiah, because Mary and Joseph are of Judah, the house of David. And verse 70, and as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. We got to be Jewish to really feel this. We have been taken off in captivity. 10 of the tribes have disappeared. 586 BC, they destroyed the temple. A remnant was there for 70 years. They come back and they rebuild the temple. There's just really two tribes left, of them. We don't even know where the other 10 went. Other people came there. And now the Romans are there. Now they got Herod's temple, and it's just not the temple of Solomon's temple. It's nice. It's pretty. It's neat looking. It's got a lot of gold and stuff on it, but it's not Solomon's temple. This is such a normal state to them that they've lived in this and lived in this and lived in this and lived in this. That it becomes ingrained in them. Just like you have American ideals and you don't even have American ideals. Go watch some of the Hallmark Channel or some of those that are on those Christmas shows, it's always got snow, it's always got gobs of Christmas trees and decorations and little villages and eating and cookies and all the stuff. The carolers, they're always stick carolers in those. Have you ever seen, usually it's the same four people somewhere in the scene. They must have a contract. They come by and they're singing carols and got their things outside, you know. And usually somebody's lost a mother or a father or their parents or, I mean, sometimes they've got their family units, but it's just got all this American Christmas story with the romance going on in the background of it. You know, that's just all part of it. So the Jews have their own thing. So he spoke by the mouth, 70 again. So as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father. It takes me a moment for this to sink in, and it still doesn't sink in the same level that if I was Jewish. The oath to which he swore to Abraham, God has sworn by his own name. We've had all these little pieces down through the years. An anointed one is coming. He's going to be of the house of David. He's going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. We've got pieces and pieces and pieces of stuff. All this stuff has been promised. But you know, promises get old. As soon as the Pharaoh changed after Joseph, they had been working for him, making money, and now they started doing other things. Yeah. And pretty soon they were making bricks to make monuments to Pharaoh. It turned into 400 years. 400 years of living in Goshen, and you couldn't leave. And started crying out for a deliverer. And so God starts preparing Moses. And not in a way you and I would prepare somebody. Let's see, we need a deliverer. We'll put him in a reed basket. We'll float him out in the Nile. We'll let one of the princesses of the Pharaoh find him. We'll raise him in the house of Pharaoh. We'll let him grow up. We'll let him see one of Pharaoh's guys, workers beating up on some Jewish guys. Let's see, we'll let him go kill the Egyptian and burying him in the sand. Oh, well, let's circulate the knowledge of this so that he becomes frightened and leaves and runs out off to the desert. We'll let him go live out in the desert for a long time. We'll let him meet a Midianite priest's daughter. They'll get married. They'll have a couple of boys. I'll have him walk by a bush on fire that doesn't burn up. I'll talk to him out of the bush. He'll come over. I'll tell him to take his sandals off. I'll tell him that I'm sending him as a deliverer back to Egypt. In fact, I'll take his walking stick that he uses out there and I'll tell him that's my stick now. That's the staff of God. Throw it on the ground. Turns into a snake. Pick it up by the tail, turns back into a staff. Take your hand, stick your hand inside your clothes, pull your hand out. Leprosy. Put your hand back inside your clothes, pull it back out, it's okay. I want to send you back to, I have heard their cries. I'm going to deliver them. Just the bigger version of all this. I'm going to send the one who delivers all of the earth. That's called to me. And there'll be people from every tongue and tribe and nation. They'll be Jewish and they'll be non-Jewish. They'll be Gentiles. Verse 74, to grant that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's something to hold on to. That and what Mary has said 3 months before, these are things to hold on to. These are things to comfort us when our friends die and go be with the Lord. I had like two reminders this week. Now they're little reminders. They're not as big as your mom going to be with the Lord, that you don't want your mom to go to be with the Lord. But this is what's happened. Or Amanda and Troy and Farrah's dad going to be with Lord Charles. They weren't ready for him to go to be with the Lord. I had a floater around this eye. I had one last year on this eye. And I had one, and you know, I have to go find my retina specialist for him to look to see to make sure my retina's not tearing, because you know, 5% have retina tears. Just to remind me that I am slowly leaving the scene. And then yesterday, 15 minutes before I was going to go to the visitation of Charles, I was going to eat a piece of chocolate that wasn't a very thin, it was just a thin piece of chocolate. You know, like you break off a little bar. I broke the corner of a molar off. I mean, it wasn't an almond. It wasn't something hard rock candy. This was something soft. And driving over there, I just, dadgum dust. I'm just dust. I mean, like, you know, I'm dirt stuck together with some water, and I can't seem to change this. I just hate sickness and death and hate our aging stuff. So I get a lot out of this. Verse 74, to grant to Jim that he, being rescued from the hand of his enemies, might serve God without fear and in holiness and righteousness before him all of Jim's days. And then verse 76, and you, child, John the Baptist, you'll be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. Why? Because of the tender mercy. God is just full of tender mercy for us. With which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Guide our feet to the way of peace. Every time anxiety comes over something, to guide my feet in the way of peace. Let's go to Romans for a minute. Romans 11. Paul's been talking. Now we'll just kind of pick up. He says, they've just been quoting David from the Old Testament. And he says, I say then, they didn't, talking about the Jews, they did not stumble as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them, meaning the Jews, jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as then as I am apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. His tenderness toward the Jews is still there, even though that's who God's not calling him to work with. And like Peter with the Jews. And verse 15, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first piece of the dough is holy, the lump also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. You and I are grafted on, and we're wild to the olive tree, the symbol of Israel. 18. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. Paul said this a long time ago, and you hear it regularly if you pay attention. The Christians become arrogant against the Jews. But we're the wild branch. We weren't even trained in this. All these pages before, we're all training things to raise a people that weren't a people and to teach them how to relate to our Father God, giving them songs, giving them history, giving them stories, story after story of God interacting with them, building over thousands of years a way of perceiving him. He did it on purpose. And you and I, in the fullness of time, were grafted on to this heritage, and it's become a Judo-Christian, Jewish-Christian heritage. And there are Jews that hate Christians, which they shouldn't, but they do. And there are Christians that hate Jews, which they shouldn't, but they do. But we need to get used to them, no matter how much they tick you off. They're your family. This heritage is all tied together. We're all one big family. We're coming from a lot of different places with a lot of different weird backgrounds. I just don't think I'm going to probably get it. I may watch Zulu Christian worship go, that's fascinating. Look, they brought spears from back in the past and how they dance. I can't dance like, I don't have that much rhythm. And you know, or it's like, you know, just anywhere in the world you go with Christians. Middle Eastern Christians have music like, really? Really? That's, I don't get into that.
When we went over to Africa, you know, we all thought we did a guitar track.
Yeah.
And we go over, Kyle and I, we went with South Africans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they looked at us like,
we're crazy.
We're
yeah. 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 You can't you picture this? We're gonna all it'd be like the Olympics where all the different countries come, you know? And they all kind of do something together. And we're gonna be looking at each other group with a like weird. And Father is going to be up on the throne, just kicked back, I imagine, if we can see him smiling, just going, I just love all this variety. I just like all this. Look at this. Look at all these different things. Just look at these things. Yeah, I'm lost. 18, don't be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. And you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. I kind of hear a tone in that, I'm not sure. 20, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Humility needs to reign. Jewish believers, Christian, Gentile believers, humility needs to be everywhere. Behold, then, the kindness and the severity of God. To those who fail, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? One of these days, we're going to see Jewish people who accept Jesus the Messiah. And we're going to be so happy in him ourselves that we're going to say, wow, look at that. Isn't this amazing? And we'll say something like, well, I didn't think I'd ever see that. But I knew it was in there. I knew it was coming someday. And finally, verse 25, for I do not want you brethren to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Every day we are moving toward this.